I think that was the biggest betrayal of the whole season. If my girlfriend got a matching tattoo with someone else.
Welcome back to Dear Queer. We have special guests today. Do you want to introduce yourselves just a little bit?
Hi, I'm Dev.
Who are you?
Lauren's almost wife. Half-wife.
Half-wife.
Half-fiancé.
I'm Haley, pronouns she, her, and big fan of the pod.
Yeah. Most people, if you've listened to any previous episodes with them on, you'll know that they're returning guests. And we simply had to have them on to do a queer ultimatum recap.
We're bringing in the big guns today.
Yeah.
Okay, so have we all, where are we? Is everyone caught up?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sweet. You better believe I watched those episodes the second they dropped.
You better believe Haley was texting me every day being like, are you caught up? Are you caught up? Can we talk about it?
The tattoos. I think I just texted you that with no context.
What do we think of this year's cast? Or even just overall thoughts and feelings before we get into the nitty.
Well, famously, Mal helped with casting.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
I liked it because Mal did it. Anything Mal does, I like. So I can't complain.
Although, I kind of wish that they cast people who were maybe a little bit older. Maybe. Because they're all under, there's only one person who's 30 and everyone else is under. And like, I just feel like a 25-year-old, that's kind of, maybe you don't need to be worrying about getting married necessarily, in my opinion, when you're 25.
Correct.
True.
Also, 100%. When you're queer, I think you get married later.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. We're also, folks at home can't see, but we have like a wall of all of the contestants. Can we call them contestants?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm looking at it and I'm just seeing a lot of long hair down gays.
Yes.
It could be queer.
It could be queer for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's just very binary. It's giving, like, with the exception of Kyle and Bridget, it's giving mask femme combo. Actually, Haley and
Except
Pilar
for Haley and
Pilar
are both femme, yeah.
I thought
yeah.
Haley and Pilar were great femme yeah. for femme
That's true.
Representation.
Haley and
actually.
Pilar are femme for femme. Kyle and Bridget are like MB for MB. But the rest of them are like classic mask femme combo yeah. packs. Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of a dynamic that the structure of the show perpetuates. Like, it is a show. It is queer ultimatum, but it is about the heteronormative structure of institution of marriage.
100%. Yeah.
So within that constraint, I think they did a decent job, but could always be queer.
Always be queer. Even, well, I know their host, she took a lot of flack this year.
She did, yeah.
And I think it was so evident that if you've also watched the finale, that AJ gave, which honestly turned my opinion a little
same,
bit.
Same.
Because I was feeling a little bit like, can we just have a fucking queer host?
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the points that AJ made about it being that bridge. And there was some meat on that.
I think so too, because otherwise it could just be like, oh, that's just a queer show. Like, mm-hmm. if it's all kind of like, if even the host is queer, then and then straight people may not even be interested in watching it.
Yeah.
So I can see AJ's point too, and being like, this is the bridge, showing that like, you accept us too, and you understand that like love is love is love, whatever. It's like you're showing that everyone can have interest in our lives and it's all the same.
Yeah, and we also need to just like, I mean, having more allies and people yeah. showing up in all of the ways,
especially now,
is great. I need to be a little bit less of a hater is yeah. what I thought to myself.
Okay, you've changed my opinion.
Yeah.
I was really like, there's enough queer talent. What are we
there
doing
is.
At the straight house?
There 100% is. But maybe just put the queers on the straight shows too.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Great point.
I was fine with her being, big upped until she said, I'm just all about love.
Mm.
And then I said to myself, shut the Could you not be a classic straight woman being like, I'm just like a huge ally for the community. Like, just be quiet. Take your ups. Walk away.
Yeah.
Also, I will say that Joel Kim Booster is the host of what's that show called? Housewife Hotel.
Yes.
So whatever it's called. Manners. Housewife Fall in Love Manor. Yeah. I don't remember what the show is called. All I remember is that Joel Kim Booster is the host. I only watched it because Joel Kim Booster is the host. And so maybe we should just be only queer hosts on straight shows. Yeah. Only straight yes. hosts on queer shows.
Okay, I love that.
And then you'll get enough double dipping that things yes. will come
through. I love the switch
up. We should also say a caveat for this show. If you are listening to our episode, hi, AJ, Marita, Bridget, Kyle, Megan, Dana, whoever, host lady. If you don't like what we have to say, come on, the pod.
Just saying. Spoiler alert. We're going to talk about all of it to the end, beginning to finish.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any things that really stood out to you about the season or about particular people from the show that felt unique to you or different to you or that you just really like want to really kind of got behind and you feel it deserves some attention?
Okay, not a hot take at all, but I just feel like Bridget didn't get enough airtime. I think she didn't get enough space. And I think that I think first of all, when Lauren asked me on episode one, okay, which one's the cutest? I think Bridget's the cutest.
Yeah.
And I think that she didn't get enough time. And then she was like all being quirky in the finale. And I was like, we didn't even get to see any of that. We didn't get to see your life together in your trial marriage. We didn't get to see you being quirky or it's weird true. Or creative. Like, we didn't get to see any of those things. And that sucks. So, Bridget, really def come on the pod because I want to hear you chat.
That's a good point. Also, fun fact, apparently she's really good friends with Gabby.
Okay.
Oh my god.
The
gosh.
Crossover with Helena.
Right?
Also welcome on the podcast.
Yeah. Anytime. But I wonder if, the editors probably just all leaned into the drama of the other, crossover couples.
We're so all about AJ, Mel, Megan, Dana, Haley. And it was like,
well, it's always the messy ones.
Yeah.
They're just covering the messy ones. But I do think that, like, I don't know, like Marita and Brittany got quite a bit more airtime in their little friendship.
True.
Like, intimate friend romance vibe, which I honestly wasn't anti. I thought they treated each other really well and handled it really maturely.
Mm-hmm. I think that kind of leads into a theme generally for this season that I noticed, which was just there seemed to be genuine growth for basically all of the folks.
That seemed like the focus. It like felt more honest this season of like, we're not just putting you in this chaotic situation, but like there are aspects of this chaos that can actually, like, you can work on yourself and like shine a mirror up to the stuff that you're doing well or not.
Yeah. And it felt like most of the people came in with the intention that it was like, no, my trial marriage is meant to develop myself and to see those things that I can grow in and actually just really figure out if I want to be with my partner or not, rather than like to just fool around with someone else.
Yes.
You know?
Something I thought that was super queer about this season is them all describing what sex was.
Yes.
And the many definitions.
It goes to show you how different all of our ideas can be, though, just based on what they all said, too, and how different they were.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this comes up, I don't know, like, I have definitely had friends be like, oh, yeah, we hooked up. And then assumed in my mind that meant what I feel like hooked up means.
Yeah.
And then later to find out that they just kissed. And I'm like, what? But to me, that's just a smooch.
Yeah.
That's not hooking up.
Or a steamy makeup.
Or like a steamy makeup. I think that all of us have, I think we should have to say right now what our definitions of sex are. I'm going to just, Elena's squirming because I want to talk about the nitty gritty of it all. I want to be just as awkward as those people.
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
Okay, Googling.
Okay, I think what separates maybe like a steamy, touchy, feely makeout, and then pushes it into sex in my brain is just like, as soon as you got your touching genitals or like as soon as there's genital contact, I think you're slipping into sex.
That's a good one.
But if you're like over
slipping into sex,
I think if you're over clothes and like making out. That's just like dry humping.
Second base? Yeah. Third base?
Are we doing bases?
I don't know. I don't know what the queer bases are.
Bases is very
like
straight.
Not a home
bases
run.
Is
that's
very
the
straight.
We could reclaim bases. Baseball is gay. So
I guess
so. Softball.
True. Yeah, I would agree. Like any time there's the under the clothes.
Yeah, once you're under the clothes.
contact.
Maybe that's
like
a better
that.
Way.
Yeah.
Okay, not me like, getting like technical and being like, when the genitals.
No, it's for sure. It's for sure genitals though. Yeah. Because if you're under the clothes and it's just to like, to have a little titty moment, that's not sex to me.
I agree.
Yeah.
To me, that's not sex. To me, that's just a little bit of like,
That's part of the fooling around.
That's more fooling around. I think the
queer
Dev's
basis... mom, if you are listening, please go away.
Please cover your ears for a few minutes.
I don't know. She asked me what scissoring was last time I saw her, so I'm just gonna say that she's probably listening. Hi, mom. And
mom,
whatever,
go away.
Keep listening.
Yeah.
I genuinely think. Okay, let's recreate the queer bases. I think that forget the bases of it all. I think there's makeout. Steamy makeout or like makeout slash smooch.
Yeah.
Steamy makeout.
Which is like with hands.
With hands.
Groping.
Groping, yeah.
I think then there's like almost like, I don't know, like fooling around. Like there's like this kind of other step other than steamy makeout, which is like the dry humping of it all. Maybe some titties are involved.
Yeah,
whatever. And then there's like anything to me underneath the clothes involving genitals is sex.
Agreed.
And yet... I think oral sex is the most intimate to me, the most intimate form of sex.
Right.
So not that there needs to be definitions underneath sex, but I feel like some of these folks on Queer Ultimatum were talking about oral as the only thing that sex is.
Right.
Which I found really interesting because I understand that in some senses, like oral sex is to me, the most intimate form of sex, but it's still sex if it's not involving oral.
Yes.
But I just found it interesting that they like really focused on that. A lot of them were like trying to get around loopholes with each other.
Totally.
Just through whether or not it involved oral.
Well, I think they were talking about emotional boundaries, but framing it as a conversation about sex. Mm. When they all seemed okay for the most part with the fact that there was like kissing and more, but it really seemed like when it was approaching, intimacy and emotional boundaries, that's when, understandably, there were feelings.
Do you guys think that the sex playlists are enough evidence to prove that
great cue
that I sex did happen?
I think I would have said I had receipts. Not gonna lie, I would have been like, got him.
That is the gayest thing ever, and it's so relatable.
Yeah. The gayest part about it, and the part that I literally cackled at, was then when someone was talking and Haley was like, there were steamy songs on there, and then someone else was like, I don't remember who, was like, there weren't really sex songs in there. It was a sad breakup playlist, and I was like, what is queer sex songs more than
sad.
Anxious, sad,
longing songs about,
it's yearning.
Yeah.
If you're not banging to a song about yearning, I don't know what you're banging to. Haven't we all banged to Charlotte Day Wilson? Charlotte Day Wilson, if you're listening to this, every queer in the world has banged to your music. It is not sex music.
Yeah.
It is just yearning in its most raw, unadulterated form.
That was Dana, I think, trying to defend it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she's 25 too.
Yeah, seeing their ages
so young.
I was about to say who I found the most annoying, but I don't think that's a nice place to start. So I won't. I feel like on these shows, too, is a great opportunity for a partner to witness how their partner is amongst other people. And I was kind of surprised that Brittany wasn't more like, this is kind of interesting that so many people felt like AJ was... like really leaning into them hard.
I think that Brittany got a lot of validation and affirmation off camera. Like, I think those times AJ went and talked to Brittany.
Yeah.
I think Brittany got everything she needed to know that AJ was 100% like leaving with her and that she was into engagement. Because I think otherwise, if they had done kind of a Megan and Dana or Mel and Marie kind of situation and not like acknowledged each other, I think then Brittany would have like had a very different experience. We would have seen a very different experience.
Yeah, like if AJ had paired up with Marita in the end, because that was the one that was seemingly most kind of sexual in terms of their flirting.
I also think like at the end in the last episode where they're like, oh, it's just AJ being AJ. I don't, part of me gets it because like I said to Lauren in the car last night when we were pre-debriefing this, I was like, I genuinely feel if Lauren was on the Queer Ultimatum that Lauren would be flirting with everybody and then everybody would be like, oh my gosh, Lauren loves everybody. Like not in a necessarily explicitly like sexual way,
right?
But like I know Lauren to be a flirt. We go out and Lauren flirts with people, but it's not like because they want to get with someone. It's because they just are like an enigmatic, like fun, cute person who like, that's how they show affection also, even in friendship.
Right.
And so I think it's like, if we were on that show, I would like, I would just look at it and be like, well, that's my man. And I feel like, honestly, Brittany was just like, that's my man. Like, yeah, I think that it was just kind of like a, because often with those people who are very outwardly flirty, they have an inner landscape that only the person that they trust actually sees.
True.
And like, that's how I experience Lauren is like, yeah, there's this flirtatiousness, but then it's like, we get our own connection that is outside of that. I feel like Brittany kind of was, by simplifying it, was just like, that's just AJ being AJ.
Which is a sign of a secure connection, think. I think that actually made me, like, believe in their partnership more.
I also,
that was her response.
I also think AJ was, like, that was, like, in the group setting and the, like, showy part, but then very much wasn't acting on it.
No.
And I guess, like, I think it's just, like, a bit of also ego. Hmm. And, like, I want to make sure that, like, going into one of these shows, I think would be, you know, there's, like, pressure and ego and sensitivity around, oh my gosh, is there going to be someone else even interested in me?
I know.
And so making sure that that happens, I think, was their kind of focus for like validation and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that really stood out to me watching it too, was just having such compassion for these people, being like, for the beginning part of the episode or the series when they have to be chosen.
So raw.
That's so, so stressful.
Yeah. You want to have options.
Also, I don't want to be mean, but I was actually never bothered by AJ very much because I was way too bothered being bothered by Mel.
Oh, like, my God, Mel, yes.
Like, I couldn't. I'm sorry, Mel. I'm sorry. I'm sure you're a good person, IRL, but on TV you do not translate. No. And I didn't like the vibe. Same. And I actually was like, I could see through AJ. I was like, oh, you're just being kind of like a lot, but you are probably a good person. With Mel, I like actually couldn't find the center. Like, I couldn't figure out what the redeemable part was, and that's probably not very kind. I'm sure that, like, this is a show, so like, I'm sure like the people in Mel's life love her and that she's a great person, but like on TV I couldn't get past her like front.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
a lot of walls,
and yeah, just like not having maybe enough kind of maybe not even trusting herself enough to then like be in a relationship with someone else, and probably wanting this validation from other people, but then actually not wanting to like commit to that or reciprocate. So I don't know, but I have to say, even watching the reunion, I felt bad for Marie because you can tell she's still so angry.
Yes.
That
was the, like, she was sitting and just like vibrating on anger.
Can we talk about
it? It was a year later. And she still had that same level of anger.
It was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Brussels?
Yes.
Have at it. Lead us.
Come on.
They're just Brussels sprouts.
And I'm sorry, just because you teach your partner how to cook Brussels sprouts, somehow you have a trademark on those Brussels sprouts for the rest of time?
Let me tell you, I've got some recipes that came from past relationships.
Yeah, no shit. We all do.
They're delicious. I think Marie is still, honestly, of the whole cast, she's the only one that I think seemingly came out of this kind of worse off maybe than she went into it. Mm. Hopefully she's like learned and kind of found some healing or found some like clarity from it. But everyone else, halfway through, like after the first drop of episodes, I was like, oh, this is, I don't know if I can watch part two. This seems just to be too painful. And all of these people are just in really bad situations. But then by the end, I think it really
pulled it out.
The growth, and like, even if I disagree with some of their decisions, they seem to all have like landed except for Marie. And I think
Ashley too, a little bit. And
that's true. Yeah, that's true. Well, no.
I guess it just got mean.
I think Ashley and Marita were so not supposed to be together that they were still in, that may be the not nice part of a breakup, but I'm glad they weren't together. But Marie was in the petty part of a breakup when, like, the littlest things that your ex does, you just make into you feel so righteous about it.
Oh, so true.
She hasn't moved on.
But then you say that to your pals. You don't, like,
bring that on TV.
With Ashley and Marita, literally the very first episode where I was like, okay, who's not making it? And it's like, we saw them have one conversation together. And we're like, those two are not supposed to be together. Mm-hmm. Even their friends showing up, they're like, everyone's like, no sweeties.
No. Mm-hmm. I also think they had, obviously they were talking about like, or Marita was talking about like big gestures. I don't think they had any sexual chemistry.
No,
at
they
all, which I wonder if that was something they weren't talking about on camera, but maybe was an issue.
Yeah.
Was like the physical aspect and not just the kind of romantic gestures or whatever.
Okay, so as of the reunion, the folks who are together still are Dana and Megan, Kyle and Bridget, AJ and Brittany, Haley and Pilar.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know, who's going the distance?
AJ, Brittany, Haley and Pilar.
Is that consensus?
Who'd you say? AJ and Brittany. You don't think Kyle and Bridget?
I think that I just don't see them actually getting married, to be honest.
Mm, yeah.
I will say that, astrologically, they're a really good match.
Mm.
Leos and Aquariuses famously do very well together.
So Kyle is a Leo and Bridget is an Aquarius.
Yeah, and Leos and Aquariuses do really well together. It makes complete sense, though, that they said that they're both highly type B and, can't figure out who to clean. Because right. I can tell you right now, if I lived with a Leo... And I'm an Aquarius. If I lived with a Leo, I would never be doing anything other than out in the world, dancing, hanging out,
right.
going to shows. I would just never do the adult things. Yeah. It is like Lauren's Taurus energy that makes me adult. So I will say that I think that they are a good match astrologically. They might stick it. I don't know.
Maybe there's some star signs in there that might help, like rising and...
Yeah, we need to know more. What I found, just to sort of backtrack for a second, with Megan and Marie in their own relationships, for them too, they were the ones that for me was most obvious that when they returned to their trial marriage with their ex-partner, you could see them revert out of whatever they had learned from their trial marriage with the strangers, the other people.
Mm-hmm.
Megan came out so strong and then you just saw her shrink.
Yep.
And be and just backtrack. And then Marie too, mind you, she just had a bad kind of trial marriage, but I thought she had maybe learned that she needed to kind of stick to her guns a little more. But then you saw her just trying to convince Mel that Mel is good enough. And deserves love.
She doesn't need kids.
And she's just trying to you're good, I love you, I swear. But you can't convince someone of that. And I think Marie was just hoping she could convince her that she deserved her love. I don't know, it was interesting to see them both kind of probably revert right back into whatever patterns they had previously.
100%. And especially with Megan and Dana, you could literally see the conversations Megan was having with Haley, you could hear Dana.
Mm-hmm.
It was entirely a script from that. She's like, this is what my partner wants me to say.
Mm-hmm.
I know I didn't love you. There was love, but it's girl, we watched the same show. You were saying you were literally in love, falling in love, love, love,
love.
The
fact that she asked for Haley to apologize
to
Dana.
That was so...
When she said that, I literally went, are you okay?
Yeah.
That is also Haley's reaction was perfect.
Yeah.
Haley, Haley literally being lol.
You know what? Literally.
You know what? I don't want you ever in my life ever again.
In that conversation, in my mind, I said, Haley just won.
Yeah.
Haley
yeah.
just won this whole show. She yeah. won.
I actually think she was, I'm not biased at all because of her name.
Yeah.
but she was actually my favorite of all of them. I think that the way that she was able to be fully open
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to the experience and follow her heart, learn, make a connection, but also the way that she was honest and caring with Pilar,
mm-hmm.
That's really hard to do. And I have empathy for Mel, as a complete counter example, how Mel handled that conversation with Marie in the car when she just straight up lied. I totally understand the instinct to lie when you're caught in a corner and you've hurt somebody, but to not have to not be brave enough to say the hard thing, to not have practiced that skill within yourself. And even if you maybe don't get it right in that moment, to not immediately follow up, even if it's off camera and be like, hey, actually, no, I did do this. Compared to how Haley handled the conversation with Pilar, I'm remembering that one scene on the balcony, especially when she really was honest without giving too many details and was really caring but respected Pilar's boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why they were able to stick the landing and get engaged and they're still together.
And so we're keeping Haley and Pilar in the, they're gonna find their way through this.
I think if they can handle that after 10 years together, they'll be good.
series.
I'm only holding out hope for Haley and Pilar and AJ and Brittany. I think that Kyle and Bridget will have a very long, maybe 7-year long engagement where they don't necessarily get married. They can't figure it out. Because, like, can you imagine planning a wedding and that? No.
So, which, like, also isn't a failure.
No, I'm not saying it's a failure. Yeah. I'm just saying I don't know if they'll get, I don't know if they'll, like, stick a long marriage. I do see Haley and Pilar and AJ and Brittany. I also think for Pilar, the, like, bond with Haley and with Haley's family is already familial. And I think that's a huge part of, like, what a marriage is creating family. And I think that when you're together for that long and Pilar doesn't have a very, like, clean sense of her, like, an easy sense of her own family,
I think
that she has that connection with Haley and Haley's family. And, like, that's, once you have that established, it's easier to kind of get through the other stuff that a marriage brings because you already have that huge foundation underneath you.
Yeah. And were you going to say shout out to Kyle's mom?
No. Shout out to Haley's dad.
Oh, to Haley's dad, yes.
That was such a beautiful moment with him. It was so honest because he's like, wow, this is not what I expected. This is a wild thing. But also, you are family. And I just thought that was such a beautiful gift for Pilar.
Yeah. I also think it's a lesson in, because he said, oh, we don't talk about feelings much. This is, like, weird for us. It didn't read like they don't talk about feelings often. It read like they were all very comfortable showing up vulnerably. And I think what I thought when I watched that scene was that it's a good reminder. Like, my mom's side of the family, which is the side of the family that I, like, you know, most emotionally, like, connect with and divulge with, we share everything, every little gory detail. And I think that that is a practice, but I also think that you don't have to have that in order to be vulnerable. And I think that sometimes people are so afraid of showing up vulnerably with their family members. And when they do, it's often good. Like, it often helps connection. And I think, like, it was a nice little demonstration of, obviously, Kyle's mom and Kyle have a relationship where they are vulnerable with each other and they talk and they're open, and that's great. But I also think that it just goes to show, like, if you don't have that relationship with your family, like, try. Like, just try being vulnerable. Because,
especially if it's the basis of love.
Of course, it comes from a good place.
Yes.
Anyone have any thoughts on Dana and Megan?
Oh, dear. I mean,
Dana's so young.
Dana's so young, and you can just feel how much she wants to just, like, twist Megan's arm often. She just feels like she's, I don't know. Like, what was nice to see with Megan and Haley was, and Megan voiced this, was, like, Haley gave me the space to want to lean in, want to figure this out with my family and want to be stronger. Whereas Dana was just, like, applying pressure on her, like, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And I don't know. I just worry. I don't really feel like they're...
I thought Dana, like, the arc through the... through until the reunion.
Oh, maybe to the reunion, true.
I feel like there was certainly, it seemed like a lot of reflection and growth and, like, having to see themselves back and actually, like, articulating that. I also will say for Dana, I thought her match with Mel was a really good one because I don't think anyone else would have been able to call Mel out so many times.
True.
Like, when they met up for the, I don't know, after getting back with your original partner, and, like, being like, this is what you're saying. No, it's not that. And I was like, oh, that's really good.
Yeah, I think Mel definitely, like, got something out of Dana. And Dana must have had, I mean, they obviously had a strong connection. I do think, I can't remember, was it Mel who said at the reunion that they kind of brought out or enabled each other's, like, worst decision-making?
Best and worst, or, like,
best and worst, which I think makes a lot of sense. Like, I could see why they were attracted to each other and, like, how they... we're able to see each other, which is, like, so intoxicating to feel seen by somebody. But also, have they made so many poor decisions? Like, can we talk about matching the tattoos? I think that was the biggest betrayal of the whole season. If my girlfriend got a matching tattoo with someone else...
after they had talked about getting matching tattoo.
That part sucks. But honestly, I forget if it was Dana who said it, but one of them said that it's like, At some level, we knew we weren't going to be in each other's life. And then to have this symbol of that moment, No, we're not even buying that.
I don't know
what
she's saying. I think that's retroactive.
I think you're
retroactive.
Right.
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, huh.
She's like trying to justify. So
I think it's a thing. I think it's a thing kind of like sex. It's like, what does it mean to you? And what's the definition?
I don't think they thought about it at all.
No.
I don't think they thought about it. I think they were like, you want to get tattooed. And they were like amping each other up.
Because they
were
like writing tattoos.
Because they were like writing letters and crying to each other over having to like
the letters I feel fine about.
No, but what I mean, in the context, the tattoo in the context of when they had gotten it in this like emotional kind of departure, you know?
Yeah.
I really thought that Dana, like, I liked her showing up in that final ep and being like, this is a nice bar for which to have a mirror into, like, how much growth I need to have. And, like, seeing myself on screen through these episodes reveals to me that I have a lot of work to do and I want to, like, keep working on myself.
Yes.
And Megan saying, like, I actually see that growth already and, like, I can see how you've changed. Like, I liked that moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's very indicative of being 25. Dana is so early in her self-actualization and, like, just think of how much work and space and time goes into, like, developing your own sense of self and confidence and kindness and, like, all of these things in relationship and alone in your 30s and in your 20s. It's like she's got a long. I actually think that she is doing pretty well for where she's at. I don't think I would have that level of self-awareness at 25.
Especially if your partner had a family that wasn't acknowledging or accepting of you and your relationship. Like, I have been really fortunate to not have that experience, but I can imagine it'd be really hard. And, and it would kind of, especially at that age, probably eat away at your sense of security and a bit of your sense of self, especially they've been together for, you know, several years. So I think they talked about that, but I think they talked about it more in terms of how it impacted Megan and less about kind of what that has done to Dana and how she shows up both like in the relationship, but also like in the world and like as herself.
Mm-hmm. We just need more of these shows so that, you know, for all of our critiques and like ideas about it, it's like the more examples and pictures of queer relationships, messy, not messy, all of those things. It's like we need so much more of this type of content.
Queer Love Island, Queer Temptation Island, yes. Queer Bachelor, Queer Bachelorette, Queer
Love is Blind,
why Queer not? Fear Factor,
yeah,
Queer.
Actually, you know what I want is a Queer Ultimatum, but like golden edition. You know how they have like the Golden Bachelor, like older people?
Oh yes.
I feel like we don't, we have like no representation in
age
media
diversity.
Of older queer relationships. Like we have a lot.
We all just cry. That's the
point. Oh my god.
Because the old, like,
that's
the,
true.
The golden series is just too emotional. And a queer golden series would have us all on the floor.
I love it.
What do you got? Give us
My brain.
Give us a nugget.
I can't. I don't know.
No more shows.
What's that?
We shouldn't have.
It's too hot today. My brain can't do it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Would you go on the Queer Ultimatum?
Hell yeah.
Excuse me, fiance?
I'm kidding.
In theory, hypothetically.
I do think these shows are so good for not only making you feel great about your relationships, but like how the conversations that spin out of it.
Yes.
I'm so super grateful for people who put themselves out there like this so that we can talk shit. Empathize, relate, cry, laugh, all of it.
100%.
It's so important.
Yeah, and it gives us opportunities to talk about things like, well, how do we define sex? And like, if you're with someone you're dating or partner, maybe it's a conversation you need to have in terms of, you know, defining your own boundaries around your relationship, or even how you feel about particular people on the show is indicative as well of who you relate to, or, you know, who you trust or don't trust on the show is indicative, right?
Totally. Yeah. Echoing that, big thanks to the cast for being vulnerable and showing their lives and giving us like entertainment and thought-provoking TV.
Yeah, check your DMs because I'll be messaging you to come on the pod.
Dear Queer.
This has been another episode of Dear Queer. Just a reminder, we are not actually experts. Any advice given should actually come from our experts who we will bring in from time to time. Music brought to you by Sean Patrick Brennan, produced by myself, Lauren Hogarth, and your host, as always, Elena Papianis.
I'm getting that.